You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The world's largest mining company has a problem, according to the Guardian newspaper in the United Kingdom. Australia's BHP has set out its intention to snap up the rival miner Anglo American in a multi-billion pound deal that would reshape the global industry. Its proposed £31 billion takeover plan has already been rebuffed as a low-ball offer that undervalues the company. With me is George Cheveley, a portfolio manager for Natural Resources Strategies at 91 in London. When you first saw this, George, did it come from, as they say, left field, or had there been rumours?
No, I hadn't heard any rumours, and certainly always these things are a surprise and that you're not expecting an announcement. But the idea that BHP are looking to do M&A is not a surprise. I mean, they've been working up to this for 4 or 5 years, really, under Mike Henry, and they've done a series of transactions which have got bigger and bigger, the last one being Oz Minerals. And therefore, they'd certainly put themselves in a position to do a transaction such as this. So whilst, yeah, it's always a surprise, it's not a shock, shall we say.
Again, quoting from this article, BHP has made clear that its interest lies in copper. Anglo American's vast copper reserves in Chile and Peru would make BHP the world's largest producer of copper at a time when it has never been more profitable. That's very interesting because the fortunes of various different commodities change, don't they? I mean, look at lithium. You couldn't get enough lithium and now there's too much of it and the price has fallen dramatically. I don't think the same can be said of copper in the short, medium and long term.
No, and copper's, I mean, lithium's a very new market, so you'll see that volatility in new materials because obviously it gets tight very quickly, but then one or two mines can solve the problem, which is what's happened. You know, for copper, you know, a much bigger market, much more mature, you know, the supply issues are very evident. And the important message BHP have told us is the copper price is too low. And essentially, they've said it's cheaper to buy than build. And they told us 2 months ago that they were redoing the numbers in Escondida because they couldn't make the returns on their current project. So, you know, they've looked at building and realized that the current copper price, and I mean the price it was when they bid at $8,500, $9,000, it didn't make sense. And therefore, the logic then is it needs to be higher. And if the copper price should be higher, maybe we should buy something in the meantime.
Commodity companies have in the past been guilty of when their share price is high or the commodity price in US dollars is high, they go out there and they develop other mines or they buy other companies and then they end up with egg on their face. I don't think this is the case this time. What do you think?
I think if you look at the history of M&A and mining, people always talk about it destroying value. But there are plenty of cases of very good acquisitions. But actually, when you look back at what made that acquisition a good one, it's normally that the price went up following it. And probably the most obvious example of that is if you look at Xstrata as a company, you know, in early 2000s, I think it came out and listed at $1 billion or just above. And by 2008, just before the crash, it was $40 billion. And it did that by acquiring all the way through. But it obviously started acquiring when copper prices were, you know, $2,000 a ton or lower. And obviously copper went to $8,000 and they made a lot of money. So, you know, if you have the price with you, it can be incredibly accretive to buy.
I remember looking at the JSE Securities Exchange price of Anglo American on the day that the deal was, or proposed deal was announced. And I think it rallied something like 18 or 19%. But on the other hand, one of its components, Anglo American Platinum, fell by something like 10%. So there's lots of moving parts, George. Which one's going to end up being the winner?
Yeah, no, well, I mean, I think in a way that's what's interesting and quite clever about BHP's deal is there are a lot of moving parts which actually deters, you know, the ARB speculators who normally would sort of bid up the price and almost force them to pay more. And we haven't seen that to such an extent because of the complications around this deal. Now, we will see how it comes through, but I think if you look fundamentally at the value here, and by the way, I don't think it's the copper price that's too low. It's also met coal and iron ore prices, which I think on consensus forecasts, to me, look too low as well. So BHP, I think, are saying, you know, if we can do this deal and the complications are what's making it cheaper than it would have been, if we can do this deal, our chances that prices rise and we make money are quite high.
Do you think this might spark a bit of a bidding war? Because, as I said in my introduction, a lot of people think it's, as they said, a low ball offered. Is this going to ignite something that says, wait a second, we should get in on this, and Anglo-American will then be in a ping-pong match with certain other companies outside of BHP?
Yes, I mean, there is always that chance, and I'm sure every other company is looking at it. Clearly, the fact that BHP, with their size, I think a number could be deterred from competing with BHP, say. But yeah, I think there's potentially other people who are interested. And maybe, you know, Anglo, one defense Anglo could consider is sort of doing part of what BHP says and breaking themselves up. Because, you know, certainly if they were just selling the copper assets, there would be a queue of bidders for those.
Yes. The broader implications for the resources industry worldwide, as you said, people will have, you know, their ears are pricked up and they've starting to have a look at it as well. But would you think it might spark an M&A, not frenzy, but, you know, some heightened expectations of M&A activity?
I mean, it's always true when you get a big M&A, everybody says this is going to start a chain of M&A and this is what always happens. It doesn't have to happen. I mean, just because somebody else does a deal doesn't mean to say logically you have to do one. And I think the sort of view that, oh, they're getting bigger, we need to get bigger. I think a lot of companies are now, no, I need to be more profitable. That size is not everything. I need to look at my returns. But having said that, clearly, you know, the fact that people buy and then clearly in this case, there'll be assets up for sale, whether BHP get it or don't, you know, things are going to come out. That obviously creates lots of smaller deals. So in an industry where things are moving, assets are changing hands, then you're more likely to get M&A and deals happening. So, yes, I mean, it's likely to see increased activity. But whether we see a wave of massive mergers is more difficult to say, not least because in many commodities, it's quite hard to do.
Are there other companies worldwide that have significantly sufficient copper assets to alert other companies or even BHP if they get rebuffed by Anglo American?
I mean, yeah, there are. But the interesting thing is, and in a way, another thing highlighted by the BHP bid is, and we've been looking at this for a while, is if you've looked at the pure play copper companies' valuations versus diversified companies with copper, there's been an increasing gap over the last year. So we've seen a lot of investors who say, I like copper because of the electrification story, and I like copper because from an ESG sustainability point of view, it clearly ticks lots of boxes, going to help with decarbonization. And so we've seen investors flock to those companies, whereas diversified companies might also have coal or iron ore and things they've been more wary of. But some of these companies have a lot of copper. And so we've seen the difference in multiples. And in some extent, that's what also what BHP is showing you, is they're saying, well, actually, getting copper via diversified is actually potentially much more accretive than trying to go after a pure play company.
From your point of view and 91's point of view, does your natural resources strategy change because of this? Did you immediately sit down with your team and say, right, we must do this now, we must reposition ourselves because of this bid?
Not radically, but, you know, without being too smug about it, we were overweight copper and overweight Anglo when it happened. So, you know, those two, obviously, it played into our theme. So, you know, that worked, you know, and it's, in some ways, it's nice when you have a view and, you know, something like this happens, certainly, you know, proves you correct in the short term. And that's essentially what happened. So we haven't had to rush around. But clearly, you know, you do start looking at what other companies there are, what potentially might happen, and we continue to do that. But it's also, it does, I mean, we're active investors, we have to look for the best opportunities, and when things move this fast, we have to make sure, you know, we hopefully get the right answers.
George, thanks so much for your insight. That's George Cheveley, a portfolio manager for Natural Resources Strategies at 91 in London. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.